What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
On December 4th, 1969, Chairman Fred Hampton of the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party was assassinated by the United States government. The Chicago Police Department was sleeping in his bed next to his pregnant wife, Mama Akua Njeri, formerly Deborah Johnson. Also murdered in the raid was Defense Captain Mark Clark. We are joined this morning by my comrade and brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., to discuss his father's legacy and what that legacy means in these political times. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. of the Black Panther Party Cubs is a Chicago-based community organizer, activist, son, as I've mentioned, of the Black Panther Party leader, Chairman Fred Hampton. He became president of the National People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and is known for defending the democratic rights of the African-American community, Black folks. This is not the bio I wrote, clearly, which led to his 1992 incarceration for aggravated arson targeted by the state. He's also my friend, my comrade, my big brother. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning to you as well, my sister.
All right, I want to get right in. Bring them all. I think the folks that listen to this show, for the most part, know what happened on December 4th, 1969, at least the surface, right, details. But what are the facts that often get buried about the assassination of your father?
I would have to say a number of things. I'm continuously learning. This is an ongoing case, if you will. 56 years later, I mean, the ever-developing contradictions are continuously coming out. We talked in regards to the tax waged upon the Black community in particular. Not that there's a reactionary or a subjective assessment. In other words, like, you know, just when we were murdered, this happened, but we're deprived of that. The different intricacies, if you will, intricacies that are involved in this. And again, there's steady more and more contradictions coming out, which I want to touch on briefly before we get off. Like, even 56 years later, the continuing counterinsurgency, continuous developments. So I'm saying all to say that even the case, you know, with how deep the government went, you know what I'm saying, in regards to the assassinations of Chairman Frey and Defense Captain Martin Clark, you know, even within the last few years, that all the lights on the west side of Chicago were cut off. I mean, they cut off all the lights were cut off on the west side of Chicago. I mentioned before about a group of young brothers who done unofficial security for Chairman Fred, 13, 14 years old. The YMCA had just sent them out of town on a winter retreat. You know, members of his staff were placed, were locked up on gun cases and given these humongous, these crazy bonds, like million-dollar bonds of ransom. And the list that the system went to, because in many cases, people say, well, we hear about COINTELPRO, we got to think about this James Bond 007, you know, Russia spy series, so on and so forth. But there are so many different dynamics, you know what I'm saying? And this goes, again, Black Panther Party is like a microcosm of the Black community. This is a discussion that has to be held in regards to everything from the type of chemical, biological warfare, the crack displacing our community, the music. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people say, well, these rappers are not saying anything. When you start seeing the intricacies of the different, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about the assassinations of people like Tupac. You know what I'm saying? We struggle, you see people will fight against even saying Chairman Fred was assassinated. And that's not ego tripping, but to up the ante, to draw the tentacles, of, you know what I'm saying, of different dynamics. We have a campaign, my sister, you very familiar, the African anti-terrorism bill. And that was a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, because December 4th was one of our September 11 stories. And you start, that opens up a political Pandora box. But then, wait a minute, you know what I'm saying, where's the victim of terrorism fall for us? You said May 13th of Philadelphia, Osage Avenue. These are acts of terrorism, those blows. So the case is ongoing, it's ever developing about different. William O'Neill, let the record reflect. William O'Neill was not the only agent of provocateur that was put inside the Black Panther Party. You know what I'm saying? So, again, these are developments that we have to be open. You know what I'm saying? We have to still be, you know, have these type of discussions and be clear, because this is a prototype and a template for different things that happen, continue to happen to our movements. That's how we say, well, Black people don't stick together. We dismiss situations as just egos or petty differences. You know, I literally just come out of court this morning, literally. And I stated this is an ongoing counterinsurgency. There's an actual entity created to defend and counter the legacy of the Black Panther Party. And this I'm not going to beat around. In fact, this is like a this is hot off the press. I'm just coming out of the Zoom court, and I have a next court date January 7th. An individual by the name of Layla Wills has me in court, trumped up charges, and the developments that are coming out thus far, not only with the character assassination on myself, you know what I'm saying, but, and I'm going to say this for record, this whole proceedings is bringing out a lot of stuff, not just present day contradictions, but those from the 60s, you know what I'm saying? So, and these we have to have a, an objective analysis of, you know what I'm saying, what happened to our movements, what's happened to our people in general.
Thank you for that, Chairman. I've been clocking what's happening online. You let me know what the call is. You know, I'll answer it. I was talking to my guy last night about having you on this morning because I was excited I got to talk to you. But I said to him, and I say this a lot, actually, about your father. The United States, J. Edgar Hoover, had a mandate, right, to prevent the rise of the next Black Messiah. I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, but I believe with everything in my bones, your father was exactly that. And that the lives of Black folks would look very different had they not murdered him. And then I was trying to remember the history, but I want you to remember me. He was about, am I right? He was about 14 when he first caught the eye of the government.
In fact, they said the U.S. government and the D.C. Bureau of FBI thought it was a typo when it was called for to have my grandparents' home wiretapped, that he's 14 years old. They thought it was a typo. So there's no way possible, you know what I'm saying, to be that young. And this was in response to, this is something I learned as a recent moves he did when he was over the junior branch of the NAACP. It was brought to my attention a few years ago that he had organized a group to go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he was putting together a draft, a petition that all the youth had signed to change the name from the acronym from the NAACP from colored people. This is a child. He was going there. And the leadership of the NAACP had locked the doors where they couldn't come in. And they had changed the rules where he didn't pose to go be on state leadership to go to Grand Rapids, Michigan as a teenager. And these people who were actually there. I got the video posted. That was they telling me this story. So it's so many different dynamics. And again, they watch out. They know this gun. They know us before we even know ourselves. And they thought it was a typo. You see, there's no way possible he can be that young.
Chairman Fred, what is International Revolutionary Day, and what is happening in Chicago and across the country tomorrow?
International Revolutionary Day is an annual convening. I often say that there are two major days with us, the Black Panther Party Cubs. I mean, every day is major. You know what I'm saying? In fact, we say every day is a September 11th story for us, one way or another. But these days, the August 30th, we have the Chairman Fred Streets Party on the Chairman Fred's birthday. December 4th is International Revolutionary Day, in which wherever we at, you know what I'm saying, throughout the world, it started up as NRD, became International Revolutionary Day, 12 o'clock, high noon, right there in front of what we refer to as one of our ground zeros, 2337, I'm going to say this, I'm going to state this, 2337 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way. That's the actual address. This past August 30th, there was a big convening, Chicago, the people, in fact, our field marshal to our comrades, the CRC, I mean, everyone there came in town, you know, it was big. Mayor Johnson did officially, even though we've been saying it was Chairman Fred Hampton Way, but it was a great phenomenal move. So that's where we're going to be at tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It's cold. We will be there at 12 o'clock, high noon, acknowledging clenched fist salute, acknowledging when two of our twin towers, quote unquote, failed. That being 21-year-old Chairman Fred and 22-year-old Defense Captain Mark Clark. This is annual. People in prison, they stop what they're doing. 12 o'clock Chicago time, clenched fist in the air. The theme for this year is a film, fashion, and freedom fighters. And we're going to be having a film fest later on that day at 2242 South Damon, Healthy Hood, and we're going to have showing actively Black Judas and the Black Messiah, and a number of other different films. And fashion part of it is brother Clarence Smith, who actively Black, the clothing line, We're gonna be officially breaking out the Chairman Fred Hampton edition on the version in Actively Black. And so we're also going to my freedom fighters, you know what I'm saying? The present day case of political prisoners from Mumia Abu Jamal's, the loss of such comrades of Asada Shakur, Imam Jamil Alameen, formerly known as H. Rob Brown, and you know what I'm saying, and the pressing need, you know what I'm saying, that we really put, you know what I'm saying, this is cold red, you know what I'm saying, as we see in regards to the cases of political prisoners and our people in general. So then we have a 4-day plan for tomorrow. We got our political bulletproof vest on because the attacks are already starting again. There are contingent events they have set for today to go right there to try to co-opt this legacy. So we constantly in battle mode with the legacy of not only Chairman Freddie, but Senator Mark Clark, but the Black Panther Party and our movements in general.
Listen, you know I'm a gym rat, and so I've been tracking Actively Black for a minute, and nothing in life has given me the amount of joy that I got seeing Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. on a runway. Listen.
Hey, I feel good. This phenomenon of fashion, because everybody said, you know, fashion, this big thing is fashion week, so on and so forth. And we got there to be there, and I was in the back room, and I'm hearing the Tommy Smith, John Carlos, you know, of course, in 1968, the Olympics, they had the clinch fist, Ruby Bridges, Ilias Shabazz, Malcolm X's daughter, Dr. King's daughter. But it was different people from, you know what I'm saying? But it was something about just the different, I'll be all this backbone, and openly, it wasn't like people whispering these different names, and it opened to a lot of discussion, and it tied us in with a phenomenon, Dr. UEP Newman say that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in desired manner. And that fashion is a phenomenon, and, you know, and I flashed back to that day on that, that walk, I'm gonna call it. Some people call it the cat walk. I'm gonna call it the Black Panther Cub walk. And I'm backstage, and the brother Lanny Smith, him and his wife was over at Actively Black. He talks about when I was backstage, and they was playing the intro. They were playing Chairman Fred speaking, and subconsciously, I was saying the speeches right in sync with him. You know what I'm saying? And brother would say, and it was therapeutic. You know what I'm saying? Again, because a lot of times it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. You know, we talking about this, you know, revolutionaries. People have a blocker on, but to be able to get that Panther Cub pill inside movies, inside fashion, inside music, inside our conversations. You know what I'm saying? And without compromising, you know, who we are. Like I said, even the edition is going to release the Chairman Fred. It says, the street sign says Chairman Fred Hampton Wade. The shirt says Chairman Fred Hampton. And it's not ego tripping. It's struggling to put in context a respected organization that's been that's official and is under official attack.
Listen, that's my next set of gym gear. So they got one new customer because of that alone. I never want to have you on and not give you an opportunity to talk about the Hampton House and the work you've done and are doing to preserve the Hampton House. Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sis. Throughout my life, you know, that campaign in regards to the Hampton House, you know, it's been a major campaign with us, and it sticks hard. It's a house in which Chairman Fred grew up in, and I appreciate it more and more. You know, there was an attempt to salt the earth. You know, in fact, I remember leaving Oakland, and I was Deputy Field Marshal Che. We were talking, and I was talking about like how places like West Oakland and places in Baltimore, wherever the Black Panther Party was at, how it was targeted. The U.S. government attempted to salt the earth, if you will. You know, it was flooded with plantation ploys and poison, flooded with chemical biological warfare. And we had to clean house at the Hampton House. And next door, there were at least 9 overdoses, people next door, people landing in the hallways. And we said, not on our watch, you know what I'm saying? So we had to clean house. We were there with no water, no heat, you know what I'm saying? And it was an international call, and I want to commend, clinch fist salute to every man, the comrades there, Oakland, CRC, yourself, the people, I'm telling you, the house, man, the people say, and we say the Hampton House is bigger than the building, more significant than the structure. We were able to save it, but we, you know what I'm saying? They said revolutionary is never satisfied. We still got a lot. We got to renovate it. We got a lot of work to do. We need people, you know what I'm saying? I think they call this Giving Tuesday, or we want to say Giving Tuesday, Giving Wednesday, and Giving Thursday. Whatever support people can come with it, to go to SaveTheHamptonHouse.org and hit the donate button. They also can go to Cash App. $ Save the Hampton House. We are, you know, it's not just it's a community resource center. It's a museum. We're doing tours there. But again, we have a lot of work to do. But we're gonna walk and chew gum at the same time. So we're gonna go up to ante with it, but still maintain our programs. There are programs such as the community refrigerator that's right there, open to people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People come get food. You know, saying we have sometimes the cold in Chicago. In fact, as of now, we use it as a community warm, a people's warming center where people come in and just get warm. So we're on a political pivot. You know, we constantly meet the needs and demands of the people. And we need support of the people, so whatever support they can give. Again, SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. Hit the donate button, Cash App, $ Save the Hampton House.
I have a couple of minutes left with you, and then I'm going to let you go take a breath. Thank you so much for hopping on right after court. Your posts have been fire lately. I'm going to paraphrase this one because it's not in front of me, but it was something like, I'm the descendant of the ones who knew those weren't slave ships and you weren't going on vacation. I'm tired of talking. And that's just one of several. You're my brother. I feel that there is... communication, messaging that you are urgently trying to have with the people.
Oh, man.
I just want to give you some minutes to get some of that message out. This is your time.
I'm here to knock on wood. Not only is a service of the people, but it's a service of history. So we owe it to lay out for future generations, you know, what's happening, because a lot of times we get it, you know, people get information in a reactionary way, or we get cold meals or stale politics after it's safe to talk about it. We pride ourselves on serving hot food and hot politics. So at the minimum, people can go back and say, wait a minute, I tell people now, I say, go back and look at Tupac, what he was saying, and, you know, about, you know, the system, about puppy cones, you know, before it was, you know, cool to talk about this stuff. And go back, and a lot of times people can't hear certain things, but I just want to lay certain things out. I'm going to say this. I've smelled death as a recent. People say, Chairman, don't talk like that. Don't. I mentioned this court situation. There have been a law enforcement in uniforms and those individuals who's not in uniform who surrounded the Hampton Houses lately. They've come to my mother's house, and they say it was under auspices, under serving me a notice to come to court. But even after the judge, in this last court, they served me, the presence is still there. And it's a stench. It's a stench that I smell. And Minister UEP Nunes said, I don't fear death. I just fear death without a purpose. And when I was growing up, a brother told me, he said, I never forget when we was 12 years old, you just said, it was common when I was growing up, if someone was murdered, they would be in the Chicago Defender newspaper. That was like a big thing. This was before social media. And he said, I never forget what you said. I said, what was that? He said, you said, we was 12 years old, you said, I'm not going to be no one-liner Chicago Defender. And I, you know what I'm saying, and Chairman Frey was, the U.S. government attempted to get different street organizations to take him out. They tried different, in prison, they tried to get them taken out. They were forced to come in their uniforms to come. As of recent, there are people, you know, different elements in the streets have been calling me, you know what I'm saying? It was a situation that happened recently at this unauthorized play on Chairman Frey where a mercenary, and this on social media, a mercenary ran up on me and said those infamous words, get your hands out your pocket. And I smelt it. And a lot of times we had dismissed certain things as paranoid. We wait to later on when some white people come out and say it's all a fact. Malcolm X talked about the assassination of U.S. President Kennedy. He's paranoid. When Oliver Stone make a movie about it, did you think the government has something to do with that? I want to say for the record, this is intense. This is COINTELPRO to now INTELPRO. And things you take for granted, you know what I'm saying? And I'm learning more and more. I met with some people recently that were, you know, supposed to be in the Panther Party. Well, they were in the Panther Party. And I was like, wow. And I'm learning so much, you know, like even from the 60s and different individuals. And I was like, wow, something you take for granted that you would think people know. They don't know, and it's still simple. I just want, you know what I'm saying? People say, well, you have to wait on people, but the stakes are too high. And I just want to let out, you know what I'm saying, for the record, to future generations that you have people that will stand up for you, that understand for you, and there is something going on. Like, even with the legacy of the Black Panther Party, I said sometimes you look at like people doing their relationships. You can become comfortable, like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then you take your relationship, you might take somebody for granted. When you go outside, you say, wait, why is this other person trying to take my person, my lady, my guy? What, you know, what's going on? What's to this legacy? That the resources, they don't say that are targeted at this. And what's the, why is there a counterintelligence? People say, well, we just stick together, we'll be all right. You know, no, there's a missile coming at us. Who are we as a people that this constant attack is waging us? What do this our presence alone? And our people have to clear the up the ante to say, what's going on here? And that's the my post. You felt it. You felt it, sister. You know, a few people would call me and say, man, you all right? I'm good. I just want to, you know, lock it in for the record. And this is, I think a quote Malcolm has said one time, say, no, this is bigger than, this ain't no local stuff. And I tell people, not that we trivialize our situation to, oh, yeah, this is a feud, a back and forth, or what they say, a beef. And I say, with Tupac. You know, Nipsey Hussle, these were assassinations. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to go on record saying that. I smell it. I'm not saying no macabre, eerie type of way, you know what I'm saying? And this is climate, you know what I'm saying? And this is a reactionary climate. But again, we have to really struggle to put things in their put situations in their political context. And this is the day it's been happening. And you know, like the coronavirus, it may go dormant sometimes, but it's been there. It's been there. And you know what I'm saying? And the assassinations have occurred. I just want the record to reflect what's going on. And you know what I'm saying? Do we recognize terms of the agent provocateurs, political prisoners? My next court date is January 7th. And I'll be letting the people, I'm inviting the people to come see for themselves what's going on with this court date. You know, I'll be putting out a call seeking counsel. I got to get counsel before my next court date. So I'll be putting out a call for that also. But I'm honored. I don't want to seem like I'm saying doom and gloom, because in so many cases, I said the U.S. government assassinated Chairman Fred, my father, in a graphic way. But they attempted to take all of our fathers, all of our mothers, in one way or another, by shooting them down, locking them up, stringing them out with some form of narcotics, whatever in some case. But to have a clarity, they say no one is half the battle. And I'm becoming more. I'm getting. I mean, class is in session. I'm learning more and more. I mean, as we go, more and more.
All right, Chairman Fred. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The time was perfect. I mean, again, let the record reflect. I mean, you know, this is hot off the press. I mean, I'm literally just coming out of court. You know what I'm saying? Literally, the day before December 4th, 2026. Put this for the archives. This is literally hot off the press.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And keep us posted on how we can support.
I definitely will, my sister. Definitely.
All right. All right. Be easy. Free them all.
Love and respect. Free them all.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.